Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
All right. Hello.
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 You sound very breathy.
Oh, well, that's what we're talking about today.
Okay.
I'm like so excited for this episode.
You really are.
I really am. I'm on fire for this right now because it's sort of been within my research of things that I'm doing with my family and with myself, and I can't wait to share this one. I feel like
and it's all about breathing.
I'm like a breath Bible thumper right now.
You are a breath.
Let me
Bible
tell you
thumper.
About breath. Have you heard the good word?
Have you heard the good news? You're breathing all wrong.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And you could fix it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's not too late.
No. Oh my gosh. It's so amazing.
Okay, so this is like all about James Nestor, right?
Yes. This is kind of a book report on James Nestor's book, Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art.
Okay.
And I consumed it so quickly.
I know, you were really excited about this one. After you read his book, you're like, oh my gosh, you have to read this book.
We wanted to get him on, but he's writing a new book and he's busy.
Yeah, I don't think we're important enough, honestly. Yeah. That's okay, James. We're not going to hold it against you. It's fine. Write your new book. It's okay.
It's okay. We'll speak the good word.
That's right. Okay, so fun fact. How many people do you think are breathing incorrectly?
Everyone.
It's 90%.
After reading this book?
It's 90%.
See? Everyone.
90% of people.
Except for 10%.
I mean, so is that shallow versus deep breathing is what I'm assuming?
There's so many things like nose versus mouth and shallow versus deep. And
I always found it really interesting. Like somebody had pointed out to me that when you watch babies breathe, they breathe correctly because they breathe from their belly.
Yeah.
And they just take these deep belly breaths, which is why it's so cute when they're on their backs and their little bellies like, inflate.
Yes. So big.
But we don't breathe like that. I breathe very shallow. I breathe from my mouth.
Yeah.
It's like, is that part of the problem?
That is a huge part of the problem. And we're really going to be breaking down each of the concepts in his book today and talking more about all the work that he did into putting into the book.
That's right. We're going to talk about today the problem with modern breathing.
Yep. And then we're going to talk about the science of breath.
Right. And finally, we're going to kind of talk about breath and mental health and the healing power of breath and what you can do to start breathing better.
Yep. But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your, quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our waitlist, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp.
All right, we are back. So the problem with our modern breathing is this goes back really far when you look at the...
Are you going to take us back to like the monkeys, apes?
Yes, the monkeys and the apes. So when you, well, not really. So first, let's give you a little bit of background on him. He is a scientific journalist. So he got interested in breath in general because he was struggling. He had chronic bronchitis, and every year about the same time, he'd come back in and he'd have infection after infection. And so finally, he was like, what's happening? I'm going to get to the bottom of this. So he worked with, I think it was Stanford, but he worked with a couple of different organizations to put together a few studies, and he wanted to look at the difference between mouth breathing and nose breathing. And they would not allow the study to happen for a period longer than 10 days.
Why?
Because they knew how detrimental it was going to be.
Oh, to have people breathe through their nose yes. instead of their,
and
or their mouth?
And they wouldn't let him recruit participants, so he did it himself.
So scientists know how dangerous it yes. is to breathe through your mouth, and yet they...
Yes, yes. So...
Because
so
they have that whole do no harm.
Right, correct. So he did this for 10 days.
But I mean, that almost implies that there's like an irreversible damage or like a potential for death.
I mean, you know, maybe. So he did this for 10 days. He breathed exclusively through his mouth. And he said within 3 hours, he was already like struggling. His blood pressure was through the roof. He felt tired. He felt lethargic. They took gas levels on him. So they were looking at his like O2 markers, CO2 markers. They took inflammation markers within his blood. And then they did hormone levels. And he and a buddy did this. So it was two guys breathed exclusively through their mouth for 10 days. And
did they plug their nose?
Yeah, he talks about it in the book. Like, I mean, they would just I don't know. I guess
they would have to like up. They would have to plug their nose. There's no way you can maintain that without.
Yeah. And he did it night and day. So he was sleeping at night this way and during the day. But he just talks about how bad he felt. And his snoring volume increased by 4,820%. Sleep apnea. He had 25 episodes in one night. He had to urinate a lot more at night. And then his kidneys were also producing a lot more fluid. So there was just this general sense of not feeling well. And then on the flip side, he then went and did the nose breathing for 10 days. So exclusively nose breathing. And all of those reversed. Everything that happened with the exclusive mouth breathing. So his systolic blood pressure dropped from 142 to 124, so within a normal range. His heart rate variability actually decreased by 150%. Increased by 150%. So do you know about heart rate variability?
I mean, I'm thinking of AFib. Like, what is it?
So heart rate variability is the space in between your beats. So you want it to be variable. You don't want it to be boop, boop. You don't want it to be very
I would have thought the opposite pattern.
Yeah, I know. I would too. But it's actually when you have higher rates of variability, you actually are more consistently in a rest and digest state of your nervous system. When you have lower variability, so when you have very consistent time between your beats, you are more in a fight or flight state within your nervous system.
Oh.
Yes. So can
now
you...
Now I want to go invest in like a heart monitor.
Right. So when you decrease your heart rate variability, you're going to be more calm. And then your levels of carbon dioxide actually rise by 30%. So the reason why you would want that is because that affects the pH of your blood. And so much physiologically happens whenever your blood is at, I think it's like 7.2 is the pH.
Neutral.
And also your hemoglobin has more affinity for carrying oxygen throughout your body when your pH is stable.
This is so interesting on so many parts or so many different planes because, you know, there's that whole thing of an alkaline versus an acidic environment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which a lot of cancer survivors will like talk about, but doctors will poo-poo it.
Yeah.
But you're saying that there's a direct correlation to the alkalinity of your body based
and
on
health,
which way you breathe.
Yeah.
And an alkaline environment is obviously... preferable to an acidic,
correct.
Know, which some people try to draw a parallel between acidic environments and cancer.
They do, all the time. Yep.
Interesting.
So they actually even did this experiment years ago on rhesus monkeys, and after 6 months of mouth breathing, the monkeys developed a downward growth pattern. So this is sort of the reason why I got into this because my daughter has a very narrow jaw. And when I got to looking into this more, and I did a little bit of research with, his name is Buteyko. I can't remember where he's out of, but he's out of another country where they study breath. And he says, over time, our jaws have gotten weaker and weaker. And our...
Because we're a smoothie society.
Yeah,
now.
We're a smoothie society. And when as soon as our babies start eating food, we give them purees. And they don't have to work to get it. And when they breastfeed, like, they do have to work to get it. And their tongue is getting strengthened. But Henley didn't end up breastfeeding. She was bottle fed. So she didn't really have to work for her food. And then she got purees just like every other baby. And so her jaw muscles just are... You know, they don't work to form the pattern of an outward face shape. It stays very flat, which also keeps your jaw really thin. And if we don't press our tongue to the roof of the mouth, our palate gets really high and our teeth become very narrow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's like cascading effect.
I mean, it's a cascading effect. It's crazy. So really, that's kind of led us to this modern problem of having large tonsils. We're becoming mouth breathers because we just don't have enough space when everything is squished up in our mouth. Our sinuses are very small.
Mm.
So then when we go to sleep at night, we open our mouth.
My middle child, Emily, is into all things beauty right now. And she noticed that I had some mouth tape in my side drawer. And she's like, can I try that? I'm like, sure. And she's so aggravated because she's ripping it off in the middle of the night.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she's like, I really want to keep this on. And she's like, I don't remember taking it off.
Yeah.
And I said, that's how ingrained you are to breathe through your mouth.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you're...
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It's wild. Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
So in the book, James Nestor actually goes to some of the catacombs, which I think are in Paris.
They are. Yeah. And I know that because I got trapped down there and it scared the... But Jesus out of me.
So he went there specifically to go look at the development of face structures over time. And he basically proved the point that that over time, as we got more developed and more like urbanized, I guess, with our food, our face structures became more and more flat, which means our jaw were more and more narrow. But before, our jaws were out.
It's very protruding. Yeah. Like, I will say that I noticed that when I was in the catacombs is that all of the jaws were like protruding and looked kind of Neanderthalish.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird because I'm like, who are these people? Uh-huh. You know, but it was just, and I mean, I forget what year that was that they were all kind of entombed there, but it really did not look like modern day skulls.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're 100% right. Yeah. The jawline looked completely different.
Yes.
Side note, it's very scary down there and nothing but bones.
He talks about it in the book. He was like, this is really creepy and I can't believe I'm going to this sort of length to get this data.
I was fine at first, but the deeper and darker we went and the narrower it got and the more bodies that were piled up, I started to have panic. Like I took off running.
Yeah.
Scary.
Okay, so he looks at, the book is sort of broken up into like different sections. So nose is one of the main sections. So he talks about why nostril breathing versus mouth breathing is preferable. Any ideas why?
Why?
Having not read the book.
No, I haven't read the book. I would imagine, so I don't have my tonsils anymore because I had huge tonsils.
Same.
And I was always getting strep throat, so I don't have tonsils. But my guess is your nose is like a filter.
Yes. Yeah.
It prevents stuff from getting in there.
Yeah.
But I would have thought the tonsils serve that same purpose.
Not the same. So there's all kinds of structures, and I won't go into all of it. There's one called the pituitary structure and the turbinate sinuses and the conchae. I don't even know how to say that, but they're all in the back part of your sinuses of your nose. But when you breathe through your nose, it filters the little hairs that are in there, and it also warms the air, and then also triggers different hormones and various chemicals that reduce your blood pressure and help out with digestion. So if you're not breathing through your nose, then you're not getting all of those benefits.
Do you think breathing properly could help my husband's blood pressure go down?
100%. Yes. Yeah. So nose breathing responds to the cycles of the autonomic nervous system. So that influences your heart rate and opens up your blood vessels and it helps you store memories, actually. So even my dad right now, he was complaining about not being able to remember things. And he's a huge mouth breather. He's got a CPAP at night and like this could be
my dad has a CPAP too.
Yeah.
It affects your ability to have memories.
Well, just think if you're constantly in fight or flight.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So obviously way, way big impact on just your general well-being whenever you're breathing through your nose versus your mouth. Do you know how many people breathe through their mouth at night?
I mean, I would imagine 98%.
It's actually 60%.
Oh, okay.
So 60%-ish of people breathe through their mouth at night. So this is when you wake up with drool on your pillow or you wake up and your mouth is really dry and you've got to take water. So you alluded to what you can already kind of do about that at night because it can be really hard to retrain your body to close your mouth at night. But the optimal position is to have your teeth slightly apart, have your tongue at the roof of your mouth, and to have your lips softly closed. But you can't control that once your body goes to sleep.
Right.
As we talked about in the last episode. So, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that our jaws are just weak. So it's our jaw muscles that hold it closed, but our soft diet doesn't have our jaws being super, super strong.
I got a jawsercise.
Perfect.
I jawsercise.
So there is something that you can do. You can tape your mouth shut at night and you will notice a huge difference in your sleep. And this is not, we're not talking like I got kidnapped. It's duct tape across my mouth. It's like a tiny little piece of medical tape. And there are specific mouth tape, like the X's and ones that go around the outside of your mouth.
That's the ones I have.
Yeah. You don't want to completely it's got to be easy enough to take off that you could literally just poke your tongue out and it becomes unadhered.
Yeah. I mean, I was a little anxious about it when I first started doing it, but it's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it actually feels really good. So, okay. So in the chapter, there's a chapter on exhaling, which I find really interesting. So in yoga, I have been taught that your exhale is actually the most important part of your breath, because exhaling slowly is actually what calms your heart rate down. So have you ever inhaled and held your breath and had your blood pressure taken? Or am I just the nerd that does that?
No, but I notice that when I'm stressed, I hold my breath.
Right. Okay. So when you hold your breath, and the inhale is the excitatory part of your breath, so that's what raises your heart rate, your blood pressure, and everything. It's your exhale that slows down your blood pressure, your heart rate. So the slower that you can exhale, you'll have more impact on that. So there was this lady that he talks about in the book, Katharina. She lived in Germany in the 1900s, and she had scoliosis. So she sort of believed that if she could fix her breath, you know, because scoliosis, sometimes you end up with this little bit of a hunched posture. Mm-hmm. She ended up completely correcting her scoliosis just by manipulating her breath.
What?
Yeah. So she worked on her exhales, and she increased those with different stretches, because the more you sort of like make room in your ribs, she was able to basically recorrect her spine. And then she went on to help hundreds of women suffering from scoliosis using their breath only. Crazy.
Crazy. I mean, this is just another reason why I love breath work.
Yes.
I am like such a breath work fan.
Yep. So in the book, there's another section where he talks about all the structures behind your nose. So this is another argument for nose versus mouth. But the pituitary sinus, it releases nitric oxide, which is a vasodilator. That plays a vital role in increasing your blood pressure, circulation, and delivering oxygen to your cells. So the nitric oxide actually affects your immune function too. So breathing through your nose versus your mouth impacts your immune function, your weight regulation, your blood circulation, your mood, and your sexual function.
Sexual function. How does that work?
Well, I mean, think if you're in that fight or flight again. So it all goes back to that nervous system.
Yeah, but we're talking about like vasodilation, right?
So nitric oxide. So the reason why his book sort of became really popular, and they were looking back into it in 2020, 2022, is because they started using nitric oxide to help treat COVID patients. Because it was a vasodilator, and shortness of breath was the major complication within COVID. And then they were giving these patients nitric oxide, and it was increasing their blood circulation and helping deliver oxygen to their cells.
Interesting.
So what I found really cool about this is when I did my yoga training for firefighters have to run in with supplied oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they talked about how when you do breath retention exercises, so doing things like box breathing actually increases your nitric oxide and increases your CO2, which helps your oxygen utilization.
Remind people what box breathing is.
So box breathing is when you breathe in, and it can, but there's all kinds of different
counts. Fours. I don't know.
So the easiest is like a four count in, a four count hold, a four count exhale, four count hold at the bottom. So it makes like a box. Your sides of the box are your inhales and your exhales. But with that breath retention, you increase your CO2, which helps increase your oxygen utilization throughout your body, which is great for a firefighter. So there was a study that they did, and I think this was out of a university in Australia somewhere, but they did a study on oxygen utilization with repeated practice of the box breathing, and they could make a 45 minute tank last an hour and a half. So double the tank because of somebody's just utilization of oxygen.
Holy smokes. So if you're if you're scuba diving and you're low on oxygen,
yes,
start box breathing.
So yes. So James Nestor did all kinds of research, or he went and talked to all these scuba divers who train their body to basically go underwater and hold their breath for 10 minutes.
What?
10 minutes. That means they have to increase all the gases within their body so that they could go down there and like not freak out.
This is amazing.
It's crazy.
I'm going to sit in a room and just like teach myself to breathe.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Before we go into sort of the healing power of breath and some of the things like Wim Hof, let's do Boobs in the News.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
Have you been following, Sarah? I don't know how big of a baseball fan you are, but this whole thing with the Ohtani's 50-50 baseball?
No.
Okay, so
I don't follow any sports.
Okay, Ohtani is like the first player in baseball history to hit 50 homers and steal 50 bases. It's a big deal. This guy is like a phenom. Okay,
uh-huh.
So anyway, I am not even going to read this article because I already kind of know the story. But essentially, like, this 18-year-old kid catches the ball.
Okay.
Some other men basically attack him and steal the ball.
Okay.
They take the ball and they go try to sell it at auction. And it's like worth like $1.4 million. The 18-year-old tries to basically get an injunction to stop the sale of the ball because he's like, hey, that was my ball and they stole it.
Yeah.
And I think originally the judge said, no, we're going to continue with the sale of the ball, which broke my heart for the 18-year-old. Can you imagine? Right. He gets this ball and these two thugs steal it from him. And then, you know what I mean? And now they're going to make $1.4 million. Well, now, like, some other dude's coming out and claiming possession of the ball. So it's turned into this whole big rigmarole where everything is kind of held, you know what I mean? Like, it's on hold. Now there's a third player in this.
And this is here in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is happening here. He's a player. So I'm just looking
That's
at this.
That's so sad.
This is, this was out of the AP in Miami,
horrible
right?
Horrible people.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. What horrible
money people.
Horrible
yeah.
people steal that kid's ball. And you know, I told Gary, we were talking about this story independent of the boobs today. Mm-hmm. But I was telling Gary, I'm like, this is this poor 18-year-old's first foray.
Yeah.
Foray.
Yeah.
Into how disappointing people can be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was probably so excited. And then just to have that happen. And then, you know, for this original judge to like, it broke my heart for him. Yeah. I was like, this is just the very
You're setting him up for a life of
cynicism.
Well, life is hard.
Is hard and you cost me $1.4 million.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. The whole story made me so mad. So I don't even know. I mean, maybe they'll do a deep investigation and find out that that's not how it happened, but it looks like that's what happened.
Yeah.
In which case, the two thugs that basically attacked this kid and stole his ball and now are trying to get rich off of it, you're the boob.
Yeah.
Definitive boob.
Yeah. Rude.
I just...
You know, this is where it's karma. We'll get them.
They will come back. You say that, but this is where people always feel so disillusioned because it seems like the bad guys win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel sensitive about this one. Gary and I have been talking about this in our household quite a bit lately. And I stopped following it. Uh-huh. So it was like, okay, I knew this was going to be our boobs, but it's like... I've stopped following it because it just makes me feel yucky toward people.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean?
Well, there's so many stories of that in the news.
It's just injustice, though. Like, injustice is one of those things that just gut me to my core.
Yeah.
And I cannot stand injustice.
Yeah.
Like, that is the one thing that will just keep me up at night. So.
Well, we just talked about how important sleep is.
I know. Well, and I forget this 18-year-old kid's name, but you know what, buddy? We're in your corner.
Yeah.
Those people are jerks.
Yeah. It's all good.
You got this.
Yeah.
All right. There's your bibs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
So let's talk about how proper healing techniques can heal various ailments. So this
I mean, you've kind of already talked about, I can...
High blood pressure
and scoliosis, right?
Okay, so here's another one. And Buteyko actually is his name. And he's really, you can find him on YouTube pretty much anywhere. But he is called the godfather of a pulmonaut. Maybe he's like German. But he was born in 1923 on a farm. And he is in now Ukraine.
That's unfortunate.
Yes. But he found that patients suffering from asthma, so I feel like asthma is everywhere here in the United States, high blood pressure and other diseases, consistently breathed too much. So I think that the idea is, and you'll see even runners, like when they're out, I mean, I think maybe you see non-experienced runner, they're just sort of like always like gasping for air, thinking like more is better.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't have enough air, so they gasp for air. Well, he did a 4 weeks with them where they maintain their levels of carbon dioxide in their bodies at a healthy rate of 5.5%. So he found this like optimum level for them. And then when the gas level dropped, they breathed less until it rose again. So they started to figure out where they needed to breathe and how often they needed to breathe, how deeply they needed to breathe. And then all of a sudden their asthma symptoms disappeared or significantly decreased. So like they saw their diseases not be as prominent.
Imagine what that would be like to cure your asthma to where you don't have to be dependent on
an inhaler. Yes, for
sure.
Or
just that panicked feeling of your airways closing.
Yep. So, and there is more research into this and the effects of changing your body from an acidic state to a more leveled out pH and what that can do for different diseases. But Buteyko is one who really looked into like sleep apnea, and he's really big into kids. So if you notice that your kids have sleep apnea or if your kids are mouth breathers, he's got all kinds of, he even has a very special mouth tape just for kids, but he's got really good parent information out there. He was the first person I started looking at when I was looking into alternative methods for my daughter. So CPAP, a lot of people are put on CPAP as they get older because of their mouth breathing. So CPAP is a continuous positive airway. So when you're constantly breathing in through your nose, they put you on this basically this machine.
Yeah, and it's huge.
And you're strapped to it, which I can't imagine leads to very good sleep.
It looks like you should be in Top Gun.
Yes. Yeah, flying an airplane. Yeah. Right. There's other things. So he talks about in the book, they used to have chin straps for people. So the chin strap was to keep people's mouth closed at mm-hmm. night. So even decades and decades and decades ago, we understood the importance of closing our mouth. And we've just gotten a little bit more like medicalized with it now with these machines like CPAP, which I can't imagine leads to good sleep.
Yeah, I can't think of anything worse than sleeping with that thing on my face.
Yeah.
My dad's like religious about his. He never goes without it. He travels with it. I mean, he wears it all the time, mainly because they told him he would stop breathing, you know, if he didn't have it on.
Yeah. Yeah. So really, breathing is more than just the intake of the air and then breathing out. It actually influences every internal organ, signaling when to ignite and when to shut off, and your heart rate and your blood pressure and digestion and everything. So there's so much. But I think the biggest at the bedrock of all of it is it has an impact on your autonomic nervous system, which is your fight or flight and your stress response, which we've talked about on many episodes, just being the cause of so many disease states is our high stress.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely was operating in fight or flight like the majority of my life before I figured out that that's no way to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, breath is a whole different ballgame. That's like, that's taking it up a notch.
Well, and it feels just very, when you go into your doctor's offices, they're not saying like, well, how's your breathing?
Like, I mean,
listen to your breath. And
my
that's
guess
about
is
it.
Unless they're a pulmonologist, they probably don't even understand the importance of it. It's like, how much do they get in nutrition? Education.
Yeah, no,
they don't.
A lot.
They don't know anything about nutrition. Yeah. They don't know anything about breathing properly, or even probably good sleep.
Right. Yeah.
Your average generalist is not going to be well versed in those things.
No, not at all.
They should be.
And it sounds very. I mean, what's interesting is that I think that for a lot of cultures, breath has been sort of they've known about how it makes people feel. So there's even Christian prayers, and there is Buddhist chants and yoga chants that are actually specifically linked to make it so you're breathing 5.5 breaths per minute, which is the optimum for health. And when you hum, it activates a specific, and I'll have to look back through it. But when you hum, it's activating another part of your sinuses that has other health benefits too. So just
I find
like,
humming to be very hard.
Really?
I do.
In what way?
I don't know. It just feels very unnatural to do it. Like to...
Well, have you ever watched... Have you ever like watched... I mean, I have.
I feel like it's hard to breathe. I feel like it's hard to breathe when you do it.
Yeah, but it slows down your exhale. Like that's the whole point.
But are you humming with your mouth closed, right?
Yeah, you like inhale. And then as you exhale... if you've ever watched a woman birth, they hum a lot.
Naturally? Like they just, I mean, somebody doesn't tell them to do it.
Sometimes. I mean, it just depends on what kind of birth you're watching. But there's a lot of humming when you birth because it slows down your breath, but it also like activates so much within your brain. It's calming. I don't know.
I find it kind of hard to do.
So what do you know about Wim Hof?
I know nothing about Wim Hof.
What?
I mean, his name strikes a bell because I think you and I have probably talked about him before.
Yeah. He's the cold guy.
The cold guy. He's the one that tells you to sleep in the cold?
Well, no, I don't know that he tells you to sleep in the cold, but he tells you to get into the cold.
Oh.
He's the one that tells you, like, cold showers.
And to go cold plunging
like that. So he was sort of the original guy who said that. So, but his claim to fame was he used to be in ice-filled baths for up to 2 hours. And he broke 26 world records. So it was all fine and dandy. It was very cool to read about this. But I think the thing that I found most interesting about him is that he started to manipulate his breath to help with his immune system. And he claimed that he had control over it. So what he did in 2011 is he did this experiment where they injected him with a toxin called endotoxin, which I
remember this.
Yeah. So
I remember this. And he showed no response.
Typically, it causes vomiting, headaches, fever, more, all kinds of stuff. But Hoff breathed several tumo breaths, which he talks about in his book, in the James Nestor book. And he showed no signs of fever and nausea. And they're like, okay, sure. But maybe you're just like a superhuman or something. No, he took 10 people, or maybe it was more than that, but he took people and he trained them in his ways, and they did the exact same thing to them, and they did the same thing.
I would be so scared to try that.
I would be terrified.
They're going to give you a toxin and then you feel all this pressure to actually like counter its effects.
Yes.
That would be terrifying.
Yeah. So
I'd get two in my head about that. That's amazing.
I mean, it is amazing. But he's talking about how there's so much connection between the mind and the body and the things that you actually have control over. Because I think in a lot of times, and especially within the cancer world, it feels
like
we just don't have the control over the things. And I think we do have more than we think. So, and even it starts at the basics of our breath. It can, you know.
I mean, there's so many implications here for all of your health that I would think this would be super appealing to people who are trying to avoid recurrence or disease progression.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be all up on this.
I know, right?
But, you know, it's interesting. So let's talk on that for a minute, because what does it take before you actually invest significant time and resources into something like this, a practice like this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So James Nestor, he said he lived in San Francisco, and he said that he's like, I could throw a stone and hit 10 breathwork places. But I don't feel like that's the same here in the Midwest. And I don't think that it's as talked about or as out there.
No, we see that in Faith Through Fire. Like the people that get Faith Through Fire and understand what we're doing to try to help aid people holistically with their health are the people on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
People on the coast, it's like, you don't have to explain it to them. They're just like, of course you want to breathe properly. Of course you want good, proper food and good nutrition and proper mental health. Like, duh.
Right.
Here, we are the last people on earth to freaking embrace anything.
Yeah. But I also think that you could just start in one place. Maybe you decide that, you know, you want to just close your mouth during the day. Maybe you notice that, like, I noticed myself walking around the other day and I had my mouth wide open. Like, come on, close your mouth. I'm not a fish.
I mean, so, we talk about it all the time. It's like mindfulness is, mindfulness can infiltrate all kinds of aspects of your life. Like, I've been really mindful about how I interact with my kids. I've been really mindful about my snacking in the evening. It's like, once you start paying attention.
Yep.
You know, it becomes a little bit easier, like you said. Yeah. Like, even just in this conversation, because we're talking about it, I'm being super mindful about breathing through my nose.
Yeah.
It feels like a workout.
I know. Yes. My daughter got at a garage sale this weekend. She got a little 1 minute sand timer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in the car yesterday and she goes, oh, I'm going to close my mouth for a whole minute and breathe. I go, yes, that's great. So, and then she did it 1 minute. She goes, I'm going to do it for another minute. And so
you're like, remember to breathe.
Find those little things that are just your reminder and your trigger and just do it in the places where that you know that you're struggling. I knew I was sleeping with my mouth open, so I bought myself some mouth tape. And honestly, it didn't take me long before I noticed that I was.
So do you still need the mouth tape, or do you?
I don't. You
just do it on your own now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed too, like just being aware of it, I don't need it near as much.
And I haven't had a sore throat in forever.
Now, I haven't either.
Now my sore throats only happen when I'm stressed.
My entire family got sore throats and I did not. And I was just so proud of myself.
Maybe it's the nose breathing.
There you go. All right. Well, before we kind of wrap up with everything, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors. All right, we are Brack.
Are we Brack?
We're Brack.
We're Brack.
All right, we are back. So some key takeaways really from, I mean, just breathe. Really look into breathing. If this is something that interests you.
I mean, it affects your mood, your energy, everything, your cognitive function, your physical health.
There are a few really great interviews with James Nestor out there. If reading the book is not up your alley, you can also listen to the book. Highly just recommend you looking into it just for your own knowledge.
Do you have any like tools? Like, do you have a special app you like to use?
No.
You kind of just go around.
Just wing it. Yeah. Wing it. I wish I had something more insightful.
Yeah. I don't either.
I will say at the end of his book, he gives you a lot of breath techniques if you want to
do it on
try some on your own, you know.
Yeah. Just breathe, people.
Yeah, just breathe, really.
All right, until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.